The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he had sat down, his disciples came to him. He began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you, and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. The Gospel today with the Beatitudes is the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. Very familiar passage of Jesus' teaching, kind of the broad strokes of what Jesus calls us to be as his disciples. I think we've all probably heard these Beatitudes before, and they can sound a little bit strange because it's saying blessed or happy are those that bad things happen to. It can sound like Jesus is calling us to be poor in spirit, to mourn, to meek, that those are things we're supposed to kind of strive after. I don't think that's exactly the message that Jesus was giving in the first century. So I think rather than looking forward that maybe things will be better even when these things are happening to us, I think similar to the message that Jesus shared last Sunday in the gospel, when he told them, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," that message is actually a lot like what the Beatitudes call us to do. Not just to hope that things will be better in the future, but to actually kind of look through our current experience, to look through the things that happen to us here in this world toward the things that endure or the things of heaven. Because when Jesus said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," he wasn't talking about something that was coming later. Instead, he was telling the people the things of God have actually come into the world right now. They're actually in front of you, quite literally in the person of Jesus. But also he was saying, you can actually live this kingdom of heaven now. It's not something just to wait for after we die or when everything is fixed. But even in the presence of our world today, we can encounter God's goodness and live in his kingdom. In many ways, that's what this faithful remnant that the prophet Zephaniah talked about in the first reading. But all throughout the Old Testament, they talk about this small group that continues to do God's will, continues to trust in him, even when terrible things or difficult things happen. And the emphasis isn't so much that there's a small group of ragtag, plucky people that are doing what God calls them to do, but the emphasis is on the fact that they are faithful. They continue to trust in the Lord, even if there are very few of them. For the people of the Old Testament, it wasn't so much about, okay, if I'm in the small group, that means I'm doing the right thing. Instead about saying, even if there's not other people doing it with me, my goal is to be faithful and to trust in God Almighty. Not judge myself based on the success or failure of my earthly endeavors, but instead to trust that the love of God and his presence can actually come into my life now. But the point is to trust in him and to follow him. Brothers and sisters, I think that's much more akin to what Jesus is inviting us to do in the Beatitudes. It's not so much that we should strive to be poor in spirit or clean of heart or merciful or peacemakers, although a lot of those are good things to do. But instead, Jesus is saying, those that are peacemakers, those that are poor or meek or mourning, that even for those people, the kingdom of God is present. Not just because hopefully things will get better in the future, but because if we receive God's presence in the person of Jesus, then that thing that lasts, that joy and love of God our Savior, that can be present regardless of what's happening in the world around us. Regardless of the consequences of our actions, whether we succeed or fail, that in all those moments, we can find great joy in the things of God. I actually think that's what the church gives us each year with the season of Lent. And Lent is not just a time to prepare for Easter and to unite ourselves to the sacrifice of Jesus, although asterisk, it is that as well. But really, by the ways that we live the life of Lent in the wilderness, we're called to go through the things of this world, to use them in such a way that leads us to the things that last, the things of heaven, the things that are eternal. That in our prayer, we take our limited resource of time. See, I'm actually going to carve some of this out and give it to God. Not just because he'll give me something back in return, not just because maybe he'll provide for us and give me something that I need. Because by actually spending this time with him, I can use a momentary thing, a tangible thing of this world, my time, in a way that actually leads me to the things that are eternal. To use the words of Jesus when he was first preaching, that in my time and in my prayer, the kingdom of heaven can actually be present right now. Not just as something in the future or to make my life better, but actually allow him to be present with me now. To look past or through the passing things of this world to encounter the enduring things of heaven. But the ways that we fast or give up things during Lent is not just to say that these things are bad or I'm going to turn away from sinful and earthly things. It's actually to say, Lord, even when I desire that thing, even when I want meat on Friday or to snack on days of fasting, and if I want dessert or chocolate when I give those things up during Lent, and in some ways I'm really saying, even when I don't have that thing that tastes good or feels good in this world, I believe I can actually be joyful by experiencing your presence now, by allowing the things of heaven that last to come into my life right now. Those acts of fasting and sacrifice are not primarily just about getting rid of bad stuff or changing our lives. It's about saying, God, I actually want to seek and find joy in the things of heaven that last. And that's not just something I have to wait for after this earthly life is finished, but I can actually start to experience it right now. It's not just our prayer and fasting, but ultimately in our almsgiving that we're called to grow in that love for others. I think oftentimes we hear almsgiving and we just think of general charity, of helping out organizations that help people, which is good. But often that becomes very kind of faceless and just kind of generic. But in the history of the church, almsgiving was typically done face to face. It was done for somebody in your neighborhood or that you walked by on the way to work that you knew needed help, that needed $5 or needed food or needed whatever. And so almsgiving was actually that loving of the person right in front of you. I think that's a helpful way for us to think. I don't think giving to charity is bad during Lent, but I think we want to be able to say, Lord, help me to actually love my neighbor. That through my acts of almsgiving during Lent, I don't seek fulfillment and joy in the passing things of this world, whether that be food or money or status. But instead, let me seek joy and fulfillment in the things that endure. And actually loving the people around me, actually building up a life of communion and relationship that mirrors the life of communion in heaven with the Trinity and all the saints. So brothers and sisters, as we get ready for Lent in just a couple of weeks, let us pray that those practices will be renewed in our Christian life. Not just as the thing we need to do for those 40 days until we can rejoice in Jesus' resurrection, but instead that those practices can be ways that we renew us and finding joy in the things of heaven. Like the Beatitudes and that faithful remnant of Israel invite us to receive the things of heaven here on earth. Let's pray that through prayer, fasting, and almsgiving this Lent, we won't seek fulfillment in the temporary things of this life. Instead, we'll allow those temporary things to lead us towards the joy of heaven, to be able to experience here in this life the eternal things of God that he promises us in his heavenly kingdom.